Well, today we continue our series in the book of Romans. And as I've said before, Romans is a powerful book because it marries theology, which is the study of God, with Christian doctrine, which is the study of the scriptures, and practical theology, which is how we take our understanding of who God is and what the scripture teaches us, and then how we apply it to our daily living. Practical theology brings the scriptures into every arena of life, whether it's spiritual or physical or social or cultural or political. Paul's letter is applicable to every time and place over the centuries and to every person, no matter where they live or who they are. As Solomon once declared, there is nothing new under the sun. There is a season for everything, is there not? Even people putting their foot in their mouths. Amen. Saying stupid things which they wish they could take back. A prime example happened recently when TV personality Bill Maher used a racial slur on his HBO TV show called Real Time, and he caught a lot of flack for it. Though he wasn't calling anyone in particular the N-word, there was an immediate negative reaction for his use of the word, for which he immediately apologized. Some words will just never be cool for white folk to say. And frankly, black folk need to stop using it too. Rapper Ice Cube appeared on Bill's show after that and said, "That's ours now. You can't have it back." Well, I don't know why we want to use a word that was used to denigrate us as a people anyway. You can put sugar on a turd, but it's still a turd. Amen. Now you have to wonder if time will act as a constant reminder to Bill Maher that it's just not cool to use the N-word for a white person, or if he will have a lapse of memory and do it again. But Ice Cube's comment reminds me of the question Paul presents to the Romans in chapter 6. Once you've been freed from sin, why be a slave to it anymore? One more example. Who can forget Jesus' story about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32? The son goes off to find his life after telling his father he wanted to cash in early on his inheritance. So the son heads down the road, money in hand, and he ends up squandering it all, eating with pigs. So he comes to his senses, remember? And he says, "I'm going to go home to my father. His servants are doing better than me." So he goes home, penniless and in disgrace. And as the son walks toward home, he finds his father running down the road to meet him, and he ends up at a huge party thrown in his honor. He is welcomed back as a son, even though he does not deserve it. Now imagine, we're going to use our imaginations now. Now imagine, some years later, a thought coming into the son's mind after he settles back into the routines of life and things kind of get old again. And he remembers how graciously his father came running when he received word that his son was seen coming home. And the son, who's kind of bored again, wonders, "What if I did it again? What if I had some money and I tried to go out there and make it once more. Play it out for a few weeks and then come back home. Maybe my dad will throw another party for me. After all, he did it before. Now, some of you may be thinking, no way, that's unthinkable. But I have three sons who have claimed to learn lessons, Elder Naomi, who have claimed to learn lessons only to repeat them again. And I've also heard enough stories about friends and acquaintances to know that that type of thinking isn't impossible. Besides, which one of us hasn't slipped back into old and unhealthy patterns of thinking or living at one time in our lives, even after we came to Christ? And to this, the Apostle Paul says, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his incredible grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? But you know, he asked this question, so you know he's saying some of y'all doing it. Amen? Amen? Think about this for a moment. The human being is the only creature on earth that is not the complete prisoner of his programming. We were created in the image of God. We have free will and choice. Birds are programmed to fly south in the winter. They don't suddenly decide that because it's a bad economy, they need to stay where they're at. See that? Beavers build dams. Fish swim in schools, but only humans have the power and the free will to decide our course of action. That doesn't mean, of course, that we always make good decisions, because we don't. We have all read children's books by Dr. Seuss. In his rhythmic writing style, he has entertained many a child. In his book, Oh, the Places You'll Go, he wrote, congratulations, today's your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your way. And you know what? You know, and you are the one who decide where to go. Dr. Seuss is right. It's up to us. The world is ours, and we are free to choose what kind of life we will have. He even provides us with a warning. He says, you look up and down the streets, look them over with care. About some, you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down a not so good street. How we wish that were true. Amen? Have you ever gone down a street you shouldn't have gone down? Even when your mama told you, I don't think you better do that. Amen. Even when the Spirit nudged you. Now, you know you ought not say that. You know that's not right. But we kind of push that still small voice in the back of our head, don't we? But we still have the will to choose what is right and good for our lives. Yet the scripture teaches us that there is another element that comes into play. And we know what that element is. Sin. But to this problem, Paul gives us a solution. Again, he says in verses 10 through 13, when Christ died, he died once to break the power of sin. But now he lives. He lives for the glory of God. So you should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. God never tells us to do anything that he has not given us the ability to do. Amen? So he says this, don't let sin control the way you live. Don't give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. Amen? We were dead. We didn't know we were sinners. I mean, we knew right from wrong, but we were living for ourselves. Amen? But when we came to know Christ, Jesus broke the power of sin in our lives and gave us true purpose and gave us his spirit and gave us the ability to choose holy and righteous living so that we are bound no more. Amen? We have a choice. Amen? We have been given the power to say yes to God and no to every sinful temptation and thought. And I think that this, what he presents to us here, we really need to think about when he says, what you give into is your master. Amen? Did you ever think about that? What you give into has mastery over you. But you don't have to give it power anymore. But see, the key is this. We have to remember, if you have to tell yourself every other minute who you are, then you need to do it until you get power over the sin that tries to control you. You're not bound anymore. Sin no longer has power over you if you have given your life to Jesus Christ. What people have done to you in your life, the hurtful words, the mistakes that you've made, no longer have power over your life if you don't give them the power. Amen? You are bound no more because of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's good news today. Amen. Don't let sin have mastery over you anymore. Tell it, no. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. God, we thank you. You have done what we could not do for ourselves. God, you made it possible for us to be set free, to live righteously, to live free from all the things that would weigh us down and rob us of our strength and take our joy. You gave your life for us, Lord. And then you have given us your spirit to live within us, to empower us, to heal us and equip us. Father, help us to walk in your spirit, to choose daily to discern whose voice we're hearing and to follow only yours, God. God, that we might live in the freedom you died to give us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.